Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey guys, today with me, I have Chris Brogan. He is an author, journalist, marketing consultant, and speaker. Hey Chris.
Hi, good to hear from you.
That's a lot of roles you're doing.
You know, that doesn't even cover it. I do business advisory work, and that keeps me busy as well. So I kind of have my hand in a lot of pies as best as I can.
I think that's kind of what we all need to do these days.
I think so. I mean, there's a lot of people who want to kind of quit all their jobs and just work on the beach, but I don't know how to do that. So I guess I just kind of do what I do, is work a little harder.
Yeah, I'm always questioning this laying on the beach. I mean, I take a month or two off every single year to go to the beach, and I still work because I get so tired of just laying by the beach.
Yeah, well, that's 2 months more than I take, so I think that's great. But, you know, the kinds of people that you interview, they like to work smarter. I mean, Shep and Leslie and all those kinds of people, they're all good folk. So I'm happy to be amongst them, but I'm kind of a East Coast, New England, work until you're dead kind of guy. So I guess that's my category.
Yeah, I grew up in New York too, so I feel that.
You know.
Yeah. You know, when I look through some of your books, right, so you kind of followed this path of enlightenment that we all had, right, to build trust initially, then create platforms, then create an impact, then be unique. And it does seem a lot of us are following that path. And the next thing, which everyone seems to be excited about, is the conversational marketing. So I kind of wanted to get your take on that.
You know, I'm not smart enough to do it all the other ways. I mean, I know that you talk to a lot of SEO people and all that sort of thing. I've just never been that smart on that. And, you know, what I rank for are really dumb things that don't matter to anybody. Right. So I always did it the old way. But what's kind of funny is that that's actually what got me invited to a lot of speaking opportunities and a lot of consulting opportunities for a very long time, because the way I like to categorize it is I think of SEO as kind of like taking vitamin supplements and protein powder and stuff like that. If you do all that, but you don't go to the gym, then it doesn't count. And so to me, you know, all the organic stuff that I've learned how to do over the years, you has to have SEO in mind, but it most definitely has to be written for a human. And so my effort over however many years now has been to tell people, you know, build something that's going to really help, build something that makes the buyer the hero instead of yourself, do something that's going to really be, you know, entertaining, but also informative and useful. And then you're going to keep having an opportunity to serve people and be connected to them.
Yeah, the one thing we've started doing a lot more, because we work on SEO, we work on PPC, we help market online courses and things like that, is before advertising, usually put your message out and threw people into a funnel, right? Now, with the messengers, we're actually able to do what old copywriters used to say and get in the middle of the person's conversation, right? Whatever they're saying. And you're actually getting in the one place where they talk. And I think it's changing the game, you know, because we're now going from this place of like, I'm the news or an authority to like, hey, I just want to chat and see if I can help.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that there's always a way for, you know, pure conversational marketing. And I think that there's also, you know, a reason to have good content that people will come back to. And I think you need both. I'm not yet. I believe in chatbots, and I think there's some real good value in them. I think a lot of how people are implementing chatbots right now is awful, and I think it's going to really cause them a lot of problems. And so in my mind, there's going to be kind of a reckoning where people catch up to this and realize that maybe they need to get back to being a little more human again. So that's kind of what I do. I just keep holding out for that feeling that there's going to be a, you know, another way to do it. And so that's what I do.
Can you expand on that a little bit? Because I think you might have some really good insights into this, because they are being used wrong. And the way your books are written, I sort of feel like the next thing that you will talk about is how to be human in chatbots. It just seems like it's going to evolve into that.
You've got it right, Tom. What I'm my next book will have that, and also, you know, how we'll look at things like artificial intelligence and blockchain and all these things that you wouldn't really expect a guy like me to be doing. But it's because big companies and mid-sized companies are really having trouble maintaining relationship at scale. And I think that relationship matters more and more in a lot of the things we buy. Look, if you and I want to go get a drink at the, you and I are in a busy conversation and we just go to the corner store and we open up the little glass case and we take out a drink, we don't care. But, you know, when we're in that other mode, when we're sort of thinking about something and we're saying, I think my Mac is on its last legs and I'm going to need to buy a new computer. And I kind of feel like maybe I shouldn't buy a Mac anymore. Maybe it's not worth it to me or whatever. When we start thinking about things, when that kind of purchasing, business to business or business to consumer, I think that's where this stuff is going to matter. And I think the way people are using chatbots, for instance, like if I go to someone's Facebook page after we've had a good conversation, and I go, oh, I want to learn a bit more about them. And they, you know, the chatbot comes in. It's like you've kind of handed me to your answering machine. And at the end of the day, humans just really don't like being treated like we're lesser in any sense. We really want to be seen and felt and wanted. And it might be that the chatbot has better information. And it's not that human touch is the only way to do it. But our first contact, our first opportunities should still be in some way, you know, even if it's automated, within a very personable way. You know, so for instance, I love email marketing. It's my favorite method of doing online marketing. And my email marketing platform is super high touch. You know, from the minute you've confirmed that you get the email, I send you on a sequence, not one of those typical drip, here's how to get my five best things, but like, did I spell your name right? Because you probably want to change that. Any questions? You know, where are you in your journey? What's going on? Hit reply. You know, the opposite of what a lot of people do when they automate something. And so I think that we need to do the same with chatbots. We need chatbots not to pretend to be a human, but to give a very human touch as we're building our relationships.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to get on your mail sequence just to see exactly what you do and learn a little bit from that. I think we have this weird feeling now, and that's because of all the companies that used to outsource and automate all the customer service to India, you know, and like even my parents, when they get on the phone, I can hear one of them screaming at the other, are they putting us through this automated bullshit again? You know,
right.
Like, are we still on there or are we actually talking to someone? And I think, yeah, transferring this to instant messenger, you know, like for example, just with Facebook, where we're only talking to friends and then a chatbot comes in, that just feels icky.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity where it would make sense. There's a lot of great things. I mean, you know, I've seen some good ones where someone will say, hey, I know you're asking me the same kinds of questions all the time about what equipment do I use to shoot my cool YouTube videos. Just click on my page and there's a chatbot there that'll walk you through it and, you know, kind of give you some suggestions or recommendations. I think that's fair. And I think that that's a great use for it. And I think that there's a lot of ways to implement that sort of thing in. I also think that chatbots can handle a lot of requests. If chatbot plus AI. So let's just for people who aren't really using them much yet, there's kind of two ways to do a chatbot. One is basically like just a menu system. And that's how most of us make our first chatbot. You know, what do you want, this or that? And it's like choose your own adventure. But when we get really smart is when we can start using chatbots that have natural language processing, where they say, what do you really want to do? You know, I want to book a flight. So hotels.com, I think it is, or booking.com has 67% happiness and success rate with chatbots right now for a good number of interactions on their site. And they're saying it's because, you know, first off, people don't have to wait as long. There's not such a, you know, having to use the phone. There's a lot of us who don't want to use the phone anymore. So I think, Tom, I mean, there's just some really interesting things pointing towards where this will be useful, where conversational marketing will be good. And there's also a case, you know, I find when I talk to you and people who kind of do the technology that you do, there's also a case for, you know, really tightening something down and making a great funnel out of it. I just think we have to use both because no one wants to buy from a system. We want to buy from someone we feel is like us.
Yeah, I think this interaction between AI and chatbots could provide, I guess, a part of the solution. You know, it's super difficult to have 24/7 customer service, you know, or just people that are super knowledgeable about things. And we can see with computers, you know, they know a lot of stuff, right? If you create a really good FAQ and you answer every single question ever asked by a client. And then you can have AI actually make it sound like it's a human answering these questions. I think that could probably do the job.
Yeah. And so there's a kind of rule. It's, you know, it's not in stone, but when you do that, it's also important to still call it a bot, you know, make sure that people don't know it's not Jenny, you know, who's a fake robot. But because there's this problem, and it's a psychological thing called the uncanny valley, kind of fun to read, you know, next time you're on your beach.
Got it.
But the uncanny valley is when something is real-ish and real enough, but not quite there, it makes us weirded out. So humans either want to really know something's a robot or really have to hope that it's not. You know what I mean? Whenever anything, nature or whatever, pretend dogs, those Boston Dynamics dogs, Boston Robotics dogs that you're seeing, Boston Dynamics robot dogs, they scare people in a weird way. They kind of cause this mental problem. So when we use robotics like AI, we can't make it that it's Jenny. We have to make it that it's like, you know, Jenny bot, so that people will be okay with that interaction. And that will change customer perception and positivity much higher, which is weird. You would think we'd go, oh no, a robot. But we're kind of a little bit more forgiving as long as it eventually gives us what we need.
I think there's a wow factor too. When you say this is like, you know, you're speaking with a new AI bot, Jenny, you know, who wants to be a human or something. You know, when you do that and people just get in like, oh, that's interesting. Let's see if, you know, see if she'll pass the Turing test, you know?
Yes.
But I think, you know, if you give that to people up front and even mention that movie, I can't remember the name now, but, you know, there was like the Ex Machina, I think that's what it was. And, you know, if you mention that and you kind of tell people, they'll be super excited to talk to a bot. But yeah, faking it, I think that's a really bad way to go.
I agree. And Ex Machina is a great example of that sort of feeling, you know. So I just think that there's a lot of... there's a lot of opportunity to just do some good stuff in this space, you know. And for some people who are thinking, I'm not sure if I should do this, or maybe I shouldn't get involved in conversational marketing at all. The other thing that we haven't talked about is She Who Shall Not Be Named, Alexa. There's one 5 feet away, and I don't want her joining our interview. But 35 million of those sold last year alone, not counting Google Home and not counting Apple. For those 35 million that are sold, there's only 1,000 or so Amazon flash briefings right now. So those flash briefings are kind of like little news updates, and they're about a minute long.
Right.
And you just record a bunch of them like you record a podcast. It's not that hard. But there's only about 1,000 of those compared to the 80 to 100,000 podcasts that are out there right now. Feels like 10 million. Podcasts. So I'm using flash briefing to try to earn some new customers, and no one else is. But then even if you choose not to do that, Tom, the next thing to think about is, how would your website fare if there was no screen at all? If it was strictly voice, how well is your website laid out that someone could get what they wanted from you? And that should make a chill go through your body. And that should make people start thinking, oh boy, I really ought to think about my design a different way.
That is true. One of the things I've always told my customers is that to get the low-hanging fruit, just think of the exact ways a customer would ask the question, right? So don't say like, I am the number one dentist in Atlanta. Just say like, well, where can I find the best dentist right now in Atlanta or something, you know, the people would ask. And this is where you kind of join that conversation. But I think it's interesting if we could actually join that in a chat bot in some way. If someone asked this, maybe we just don't have a platform yet that can do what we want them to. But, well, I mean, Alexa is close, but you know what I mean. Like something where people ask these questions and it just pops up. Maybe these flash briefings are the way to go. I haven't really heard of them. So do you have any tips on those? Because I will probably be looking into that, and so will the listeners.
Absolutely. So first off, just to buy the Amazon Echo Dot, I think they're super cheap. They're like maybe $40 US. So you can justify that without having to explain to someone else in your household what you're doing and why this is not just another gadget. Hooks to Wi-Fi. And then you can get a developer account on Amazon super easy. And I'm not like, so I'm not at all a developer. I'm a copy paste coder at best. Mm-hmm. So you can go to developer.amazon.com and sign up and get a free account. And then you could say, I want to make a flash briefing. And they just released a bunch of tools that make it so dumb. Like, it's fill out one form, hit next about 8 times, and then you're done. And then on the other side of that, like the mechanics, similar to a podcast. So you need a hosting platform that can put out RSS. So like Libsyn or any of those. And then you just record a bunch of them. And then you schedule them the way you would schedule podcasts. But of course, you have to schedule a bunch, you know, for every day. And then you're up, and then you just submit it. And the one thing is that they will check and make sure that you're not trying to do something too particularly spammy. Like, right. they want news, not, you know, your ad. But, you know, so my flash briefing, every single time, the very last few seconds of it says, you know, for the full podcast, go to chrisbroga.com/makingthebrand. And no one said anything bad to me, so I guess that's okay. And I'm 30 episodes or so in. And so I can tell you that the numbers start really slow because discovery is really, really, really hard with Alexa. But I can tell you that it's also one of those things where I feel like I'm so far ahead of the curve that, you know, if any of your listeners or you get this done before the end of 2018, you're going to be ahead of millions of other people. So.
What has worked for you in that? Do you have any episodes that really took off yet? And can you kind of maybe share the numbers that actually go to listen to your full podcast? Just super curious about this.
Well, so one, I can't track anything too well. Right. I mean, all I get are, you know, how many people played it today? How many people are technically have the skill active on their device today? And the numbers are small still. You know, it's only been 28 days. Like I said, there's no discovery. So there's no credible number. I wish this would be like your other shows. It's like, I put it out in the water. There's 85 million, you know, like I'm still like below 1,000. So, but in less than 30 days, I've picked up 1,000 people who probably don't really know who I am. So like 65 of them absolutely know who I am because I begged like on Facebook and everywhere else for people to try this skill just so I could hear how it sounded from other houses besides my own. But, and I can't, there's no clicking, right? Because it's just an audio. It literally just plays noise into the air. So I can't, there's no cookie I can set. But I can tell you that my podcast numbers are dipping up a little more. And so I could see at least a small percentage of climb that I can't really attribute to anywhere else because I haven't done anything different anywhere else. So I'm going to pretend that it's that for now. And I know you're such a stats guy that like everything I'm saying is so invalid to you, but I'm telling you kind of from my belly. From my belly, the fact that so few people are over there tells me this is where to go. And I was right about this in 2006 when I said this about Twitter. It's just everyone waited until about 2011 to do it. And I was right about this in blogging in 1998, but everyone waited until like 2008 to do it.
Yeah, this is why I wanted to get you on to talk about conversational stuff, because I know, like, just judging by the way when you release your books, like, I can see you are very, like, on top of the curve or a little bit ahead of it. Do you have a template that you use for these briefings, or how do you structure the news? Because it's 1 minute, right?
It's 1 minute. And so, and it actually comes out to about 1 minute, 8 seconds, and they don't seem to clip it. But I know that if you go too much past that, they're going to get grumpy and maybe not accept it. What's my template is basically, I lead with a kind of interesting start. So I might say something about, you know, Coca-Cola getting into, I'd like to buy the world of Coke. How about also a blockchain? And then I, you know, my little theme music starts and there's like, and so really different than any podcast. I like really brief podcasts anyway, but really different than a podcast. You only have a few seconds. So my thing is, you know, this is Making the Brand Flash Briefing. I'm Chris Brogan, and that's it. That's the only brand you get at the beginning. And then I go back into the story. And so the story ends up being about 35 seconds long, just sort of slicing that minute up. And so I basically say the whole meat of the story as best I can, try to make it interesting enough that people think they want to keep getting my flash briefing and have them go, oh, interesting. Like I said earlier, when we talked about content and all that, make your buyer the hero, make it stuff they need to know. Every single time I put one of these news stories up, it's always about something you might end up having to think about. So in this one, I said, what makes this really interesting is that if Coke is going deep on this blockchain, you really have to think about even your super small company doing it, because it's going to be kind of a requirement that you in some way can integrate your operations with other companies so that you can get your spot on the truck, so to speak. And so every time I do it, I like tell an interesting story, you know, to me, and then I tell how it would apply to a business. And then at the very end, it goes back into a little canned moment of, like I said, you know, I'm Chris Brogan. This has been your Making the Brand Flash Briefing. For the full podcast, go to chrisbrogan.com/makingthebrand. And if it sounds like I can just rattle it off, it's because I've done it 38 times in a row. Until one day I realized, oh, I should probably just record that snip at the beginning and that snip at the end and just leave it there because it's always going to be the same. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Okay. Seems I have another call too. So it's a hard stop. I would ask you another question, but I think we are done. So Chris, where can people find you?
I really enjoyed the talk, by the way. Thank you so much. Swing by chrisbrogan.com. I always tell people the same thing. Just grab my newsletter. If you like how my newsletter works and if you like talking to me through it because you can hit reply anytime, you're going to like everything else I do. And if you don't, unsubscribe and I still love you.
Love it. Okay, Chris, we'll stay in touch and thank you for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yep. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.